keynote speaker is Andy H. from San Diego.
My name is Andrew. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to all the newcomers and a happy 90 days. Super grateful to be here. Grateful I'm allowed to do stuff like this in AA. My first drink, I was 14 years old, and it was like a mango kind of vodka. And everything was great. I drank it. I could talk to all the girls. Big groups of people didn't intimidate me. I felt like I was a lot cooler, a lot better looking. And I blacked out, threw up, and took my first hit of weed that night, I think, too. And it was a great time. If that's all that happened, fuck, like, I don't think I'd be here. But my last drink was around March 21st-ish, 2012. My sobriety date's March 22nd. And I remember waking up in my house to my probation officer knocking on the door, and he had caught me off guard, which is a really good thing, at one of the lowest points in the lowest point ever in my whole entire life, and at least what I know it as is. And I end up going downstairs, and I'm pretty much I'm physically, like, I'm as deteriorated as pretty much, like, I usually get about the same, but it just gets worse. Like, my alcoholism's progressive. So I'm downstairs. I have a cast on. It stinks. Like, I stink. Like, I'm in these boxers that they have a hole ripped right down the middle. And the police used to have to go in through the garage because they'd bring, like, a team to come to my house. And I'm, like, this little 135-pound guy. I always run. So they always bring people. And it was fucked up. And I go downstairs. Sorry, excuse my language. But I go downstairs. And something about being handcuffed to my banister with my mom with bags under her eyes, just sitting down in that couch. And the cops come and isn't cool anymore. Like, it was cool when I was, like, 16. I can go brag to my friends and be like, guess what I did? You know, like, I just got out of jail. Like, and I was still welcomed, you know, like, they still, people still wanted to hang out with me. I still have, like, a cool story. And, but something about that, being handcuffed to that banister and just looking at my whole neighborhood and just thinking, like, is this, like, what it's really come to? Like, it's 8 a.m. And, like, this is all I have to show for my life right now. Like, I hadn't worked. Like, literally, like, in my head, that's what I was thinking. And something came to me where I was, I thought maybe I should be honest with this guy. I'm just going to tell him the truth. So I did the first time, or the closest thing I'd ever done to telling, like, the actual truth about myself is he came up to me and he was like, "You don't look good." And I said, "I've been screwing up." And I think, like, right there, man, like, that was, like, a big moment for me, because I was always trying to get out of something. I was always, like, I'm like a planner. Like, I plan ways around stuff like that. And he just caught me, like, right at the perfect time. Like, it was to the point where every time I was sober, I wanted to get loaded. And every time I was loaded, I wanted to get sober. And 21 years old, I didn't have, like, really any, like, teeth left or anything. All my teeth are fake right now. They look fucking amazing, and I love it. And that was it. I'm a really, really vain person. So, like, I don't know. Alcohol had this thing to where it's like, as soon as I take a drink, I can't control what happens after that. Like, my experience proves that, man. And I came into AA, I didn't believe it until I went out, like, maybe 20 times or something like that. And finally, like, all this stuff was starting to click that moment right there in my living room. And I was willing to take a suggestion and just willing to just be like, you know what, take me to jail, do whatever you have to do. That's what I told him. I told him to take me to jail, take me to rehab, or let me do whatever. Like, like, I understand, you know, like, I put myself here. And I really wanted the help this time. And after all the repeated attempts by my mother, my friends, the court systems to try and get me to go somewhere, like, for some reason, man, like, this was just, like, the time. And I went into a treatment center. I was super, I had a detox and all that stuff. And they took me to an AA meeting, man. And I remember coming in here feeling like I wasn't good enough for AA. Like, I just kind of, like, I came in here sitting down, like, hoping you guys would accept me and let me be a part of this thing. And and I think that's just, like, where stuff brought me, man. Like, like, when I was a kid, like, you could have never told me I'd be 24 years old being in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, being happy to share for 10 minutes and hopefully help somebody else. And but at 21, if you would have told me that by the age of 24, I'd be sitting in front of like a, I don't know how many people, I didn't really count, but like speaking just like about my story, and just to kind of like do what we do here, like I probably would have cried like tears of joy, because my life was in such a bad spot, man. And that pain, man, like that's what kept me here, like my first like couple days, just the fear of like going back out. And I got here, I got a sponsor, and he kind of chose me, and it wasn't like I didn't go shopping, like I didn't like wait till I found the right person. Like for me, like I don't know, like every minute was like life or death. Like all I could think about was like, how am I going to stay sober from point A to point B? It wasn't like oh, let's go look for a job or any of this stuff. Because I had been through like treatment centers, and I know like I know the lingo and all that. But for some reason, like all the stuff that you guys had said before had sunk from up here into here, and really without my consent. Like I didn't do that on purpose, but it happened, man. And so all this stuff you guys were talking about, man, I did it to the best of my ability, man. I got a sponsor, I took the steps, and I learned that I'm not a victim, man. Like I wrote a fourth step. I figured out, you know, that like I'm to blame for all this crap that's going on in my life, and that was a really big part of my sobriety. I had a sponsor who used to drill it into me. So I was living with my mom. I was hadn't worked since I had never worked an honest day in my entire life. To, like really, I used to be proud of that. But try being 21 and all your friends are in college, and you got to go get a job washing dishes like for minimum wage and. Or my first job was Carl's Jr., man, and it's all that stuff's humbling. And I realized today it's like I deserved every last bit of that humility and getting fired for being a terrible worker and stuff like that sober. Because like what did I do like my whole entire life? It's like if anything, I should be grateful that I'm allowed like opportunities like this. And my sponsor used to drill stuff like that into my head. He was like my second sponsor. My first sponsor got loaded, but my second sponsor, he was drilling that into my head every fucking day. And, but I don't know, man, it's just, I took the steps, man. I did what every gentleman my age, I kind of recommend that you do is, get into a really, do a bunch of AA, and then get into a really sick, unhealthy relationship with somebody who's got the same amount of time as you, and just see where it takes you, man. Like, I gotta tell you, man, like, it was love at, first sight, and I had this plan in my head, and after like a year and a half, like stuff wasn't going as planned, and you know, she ended up leaving me, and it was like my whole, like I really had to get sober again. It was like I was about 2.5 years sober, and like my world had fallen apart. Like I hated like a lot of stuff about that relationship. Like it was a fucking bummer, man. And like I didn't know what I got myself into, but through that, like I got to get back into Alcoholics Anonymous, man. Like I got to go back to basics, like reading the book with new guys, getting commitments at random meetings that I don't even go to, just like desperate, like because I, like that stuff tore me up, man. And but the dudes in Alcoholics Anonymous, like thank God I don't have to drink over stuff like that today. And like I fall like. And I'll kind of finish with this. It's like I got here, man, and there's a lot of dudes who are like around my age, not my age, older, younger, and a lot of them, it's hundreds of them going in and out like the past 3.5 years, like because I hang out at this recovery home a lot. You see them, you study these people, man, and you read the book, and like you kind of watch people go in and out. I watch the old timers; they're coming to meetings every day. They're sponsoring guys. They're talking about stuff that they're actually doing. And some of them suck, and I don't want nothing they have, but there's some of them, and you watch them, and I want to be like that when I grow up, man. Like, I want to be sober for the rest of my life. I stay in AA because I know I can't do that on my own. And so, but then I just kind of noticed, man, like, I was sharing about it last week, and that a lot of those people, like, there's just, like, empty seats now, like, or there's new people, man, and I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I get to see that. If I don't come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and, like I don't get to see I don't get to see who makes it. And my sponsor says this. He says, "Those steps had to be written in somebody else's blood for them to be true, man." And I think he said it at this meeting. I listened to his speaker tape in my car. I'm like an AA nerd, and it's like I need it sometimes. I can't make a meeting, and I'm just grateful today that it's not my blood, and thanks for letting me talk, and appreciate it.